Wow. Woo! One foot's glory, the other's hallelujah. We're heading out of this joint and we're heading on our way home. But until then, Jerry has a song he wants to play for us, and it's called There's a Brightness Before Us.
This is cute. Have you had a bummed out day? Trying to do it all your own way. And everything you do seems tough. And you say you had enough. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And you'll have a new start. Even when you've had it really rough, lift all your burdens and all your stuff. There's a brightness lays before us. What a day that will be for all to see. There'll be a time when there'll be no more fears. The trumpet, the shout, the dead in Christ shall rise. We'll get to see the devil's demise. Oh, what a day to look forward to. Gathering together for me and for you. There's a brightness lays before us. Time of no sorrow, no pain and no tears. What a day. There'll be no more fear. Although today may have been tough, and your heart might be broken in two, there's still that day a coming. Gathering together for me and for you. There's a brightness laid before us. Time of no sorrow, no pain and no tears. What a day that will be for all. There'll be no more fears. There'll be a time when there'll be no more tears. There'll be a time when there'll be no more fears.
Yeah. The best too, Jerry.
Let's
Carr.
See. Bring it down, girl. Don't do it.
Well, until then, we are pressing toward the mark of the return of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I First of all, I want to thank God Almighty for the privilege to be here tonight with all of you wonderful saints, heaven's holiest of all, the salt of the earth, God's best, his family, his household, his kids. And I also want to thank Jerry and Bob for the privilege of being able to teach here tonight. Tonight, I want to share about pressing toward the mark. All those things that Bob shared about, those amazing truths that are a part of our future. Until then, we are pressing toward that mark. And I want to share about the record of a man who believed in the hope of the return of Christ and what it took in his lifetime to be able to continue to press toward the mark for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll turn to Philippians 3:14. And by the way, I did not Google, or did I YouTube the return of Christ. Because I don't think it's anywhere to be found, okay? It's nowhere to be found. The closest thing that I got to in my heart was like Back to the Future. You know, when the clock ticks and then it hits like at midnight and then the lightning strikes from the sky and the car just goes. So our cars are just going to go. What amazing cars we're going to have. So Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 14, Paul declares that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. This word press is the word dioko. How about that? Dioko. It's a pretty cool word. And it means to run swiftly in order to catch a thing. To press on of one who runs in a race, to swiftly reach the goal, to seek after eagerly. This man, the Apostle Paul, did all that with his life. And we'll see that as we look a little bit closer into the word of what it took in his heart and life to be able to press on toward the mark. And you know, you think that might be an easy thing because he's the Apostle Paul. But really, when you read between the pages in the Bible and you really get down to the truths that God is revealing, and you ask God to show you, what does that mean? What does that mean when it says he pressed toward the mark? What was going on in his heart and in his life? What had happened to his wife, to his children? What had happened in the first century church? You know, you look at some of those realities of his life, and then you get a little more of a background of what it takes to really press toward the mark in this lifetime. What it really takes to stand through all of those type of situations. If you'll look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 22, for those of you that have Bibles. And you know, when Bob, that was a meltdown. That was that's what the hope does. It takes you beyond what is here in the now. It takes you to those glory days. Wasn't there a glory days song or a movie show? Glory days, right? Those glory days that are yet to come and the ones that we are praising the Lord and kicking the hogs until then. Okay. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now, why do you think God wants you to know this stuff? Why do you think he wants us to know these things that this man, Paul, went through in his lifetime? Because this is the kind of stuff that the adversary threw at him And this is the kind of stuff that he had to stand and press through. You know, we all will have those days where we have to stand and press through toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, else it would not be worth it. If we did not know that our Lord was coming back, that Christ was going to return, why would it all of this be worth it, you know? He wants us to know what it was that this man pressed through. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night, or night and a day. I've been in the deep. Gosh, I'm trying to think of that movie with Tom Hanks, you know. Yeah, any of you guys see that? You know, where he was just out at sea for a long time, 4 years. Wow. Just seeing that movie reminds me of what Paul might have gone through, you know, in the deep. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Verse 28, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. What a path of life this man lived. I forget who it was today that said Jesus Christ did not have an easy life, and he died a horrible death, but he also had a hope that was set before him. God set the joy of what would happen for him, not only him, but for all who would believe on him. You have a hope. I have a hope. And we'll see a little bit more as we move on here that it really is your hope. Yeah, we all get gathered together as one body, but individually in your life, you have the hope of the return of Jesus Christ. It's God-given. It's written in your body. You're born again. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it is your personal hope. This man, Paul, believed in the hope of the return of Christ. He was a man born again of God's Spirit, just like you and I. He was a man who spoke in tongues, just like you and I. He was a man who was filled with the fullness of God, and he was a man who believed in the return of Christ. And yet he was beaten. What kept him going? You've got to have something to stand for and something to really believe in to go through something like that. He never copped out. He never said God forsook him. Let's look at Acts chapter 14. It takes that kind of determination and that kind of a mind to go through things that are hard in life. And as Bob pointed out so beautifully, you know, this whole world, this whole creation groans and travails, and we feel it every day of our life. You know, I was thinking about my own life, and I thought, man, that whole thing about nothing separating us from the love of God, that's being more than a conqueror. I thought, man, I've known nothing but separation most of my life. Even, from birth, I was separated from my parents, you know. I was adopted as a young child, and then found out, was told that I would never amount to anything, that I had bad blood, and that I should have never been adopted. I mean, those were some pretty rough beginnings in this world, but that's the mark of the adversary. That's the truth of this world that we live in. Right from the get-go, he takes a hit. And thanks to a class called Power for Abundant Living, where I got witnessed to one night at a party, Somebody invited me to a fellowship, and that was back in 1971, and I've never turned back since. I've never looked back, and I couldn't tell you where that girl is this night, but when I think upon her life, I thank God for her life, and I pray for her to bless her and to do what he does to take care of his people. I'll see her at the return if I don't see her before. But I'm so very thankful that I've been rescued out from among this world and given a hope for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is something that I think of often. And I just had a birthday a couple weeks ago, and you know, people have ideas like what they want to do this birthday and that birthday, and I turned 65, and I'm like, you know, I've just always been looking for a place to rest. And that would really bless me that you played that song about coming home. I mean, I can remember as a kid crawling under tables, like, who was it, Tim and Stephanie, whoever it was, crawling under tables, just looking for a place of rest, you know, under the table, just a place where I could have and just be at rest. And we have that with the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says in God's word that there is a rest in the hope. There is a comfort in that hope. In Acts chapter 14, it says in verse 19, and this man, Paul, man, tap into this guy's heart. I mean, I don't always, sometimes you sit and you read the word and you read about his life, but sometimes I sit and I read the word, and it really sinks into my heart, and I say, God, show me what he felt like, show me what he went through, show me what really was happening in his heart, you know. Verse 19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and he came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. They thought they had killed him, but those believers went out there believing, and that would have been me and you. That would have been me and you if we were alive back then. We would have been the ones that went out there believing. And what did they do? They prayed. And all I thought about was they came to play. It was game on. Paul, you know, they thought they had killed him, and those guys stood around him and they prayed. They did not kill him. And Paul went right back to moving God's word. And that is a picture of what it takes, what it is to be a man of God, to be a woman of God, and pressing toward the mark for the return. Ephesians 6:12 tells you what is behind all that. You don't have to turn to it. Most of you know it. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that tells you what was behind all of that movement toward his life to bring hurt and destruction. That word rulers means holders of darkness. That wrestling that he had in his life was not against flesh, but it was spirits. It was spirits that were driving people to do those things to his life. Paul stood and he continued holding forth the word. He continued to press toward the mark, and he was a man who hazarded his life to teach the word. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to show you how God stood with that man when that man stood in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. The text reads, caught away. In the Bible, there are three. There is heaven and earth one, and that's the original in Genesis. There's heaven and earth two, which is the one that you and I live in now. And there is heaven and earth three. And that is the one recorded in Revelation that Bob read about tonight, after Christ comes back and we have a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. God gave him revelation. If you have the hope that God reveals in his word of the return of his son, if you really, really believe that, there's one thing that God will do for you among many other things, and that is he will reveal things to you to bless you and to keep you moving in your race. I have a little bit of a song I want Jimmy to play for you here in just a second. Several years ago, Jerry and I took a trip out to California, and it was really a wonderful time of being with believers that we hadn't seen in many, many years. In many ways, it was a time where God was gathering his people. This whole gathering thing is not something that's just happening down the road at the return, but God is constantly gathering his people. That's who he is. He's a gatherer. He's a gatherer, and he wants his people together. So that's what we were doing out in California. We were gathering people that we hadn't seen in years, and we had fellowship with them. It was a great, great time. And we were in the car, and we were traveling on Highway 1, not to be confused with Route 1. There's a difference. We were on Highway 1, and a beautiful, beautiful drive. And the night before, we had gone to a concert by Mark Cohn, and Jerry had bought one of the CDs from the concert that night. And so he popped in the CD, and the song that came on is the song that I'm going to ask Jimmy to play for you, and it's just a little clip. And I'll catch you up with the rest of the story in just a minute.
Watched it coming up Winslow down South Park Boulevard. It was looking good from tail to hood. Great big fins and painted steel. Man, it looked just like the Batmobile with my old man behind the wheel. Well, you could hardly even see him in all of that chrome. The man with the plan and the pocket comb. But every night it carried him home, and I could hear him saying, "Don't you give me no Buick. Son, you must take my word. If there's a God in heaven, he's got a silver Thunderbird. You can keep your Eldorados and the foreign cars absurd. Me, I wanna go down in a silver Thunderbird." Got up every morning while I was still asleep, but I remember the sound of him shuffling around right before the crack of dawn. It's when I heard him turn the motor on, but when I got up they were gone. Down the road in the rain and snow, the man and his machine would go. Oh, the secrets that old car would know. Sometimes I hear him singing, "Don't you give me no Buick.
You can take my word.
Son, you must take my word. If there's a God in heaven, he's got a silver Thunderbird. You can keep your Eldorados and the foreign cars absurd. Down in a
That was the song, was playing. And one by one, those Thunderbirds came. There must have been 100 of them for about 30 minutes. And Jerry and I looked over at him and he looked at me and we just were crying. There were no words to speak. We're just two kids trying to do the best that we can for God and His Word. And God did something so amazing for us at that time. And there was every color of the rainbow that you could imagine of Thunderbirds. And every time I see a Thunderbird, I think of what God did for us. It was the timing of it. It was what God did for Paul, maybe something like that. He caught him away, and he showed him something really, really cool. God will do that for you, and He will do that for me to keep us moving in this life because Christ is coming back. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're still there, right? Yeah, in verse 4. This man Paul was caught away into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful, that word lawful is permitted for a man to utter. He was not caught back to Genesis paradise, but he was caught away to what's recorded in the book of Revelation, which is what Bob shared with us tonight. After Jesus Christ comes back with the saints, the body of believers upon earth, there is established a new heaven and a new earth. He caught him away to that time period. He showed him that. Wow. What a moment in time that would have been for his heart. You know, he had some pretty amazing even beginnings to get born again. Remember in Acts 9, you know, that was pretty dramatic too. You know, getting born again, which, by the way, Jerry's teaching, that very first teaching on salvation was just incredible. I mean, it really set in my heart for this week, it really set the foundation to really expand the horizons of what really happened to our lives in that new birth and what all is available to us and what we already have. These words were unspeakable to Paul. Just like Jerry and I had no words for each other that day that all those Thunderbirds come rolling down. There were no words, you know. But this unspeakable does not mean words that he didn't understand or that he didn't have in his vocabulary. It means they were words that God showed him, and then God said, seal it up. Lockbox, hide it in your heart. Here was a man who believed in the hope of Christ's return, and he was going through a lot of persecution. And because he was faithful in standing, God showed him a vision of the new heaven and the new earth, which kept him going. It kept him excited. He was never allowed to write about it. It took John who wrote about it, and that's how we got the book of Revelation that Bob was sharing tonight. Turn to Romans chapter 12, this rejoicing in hope. And in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And this is all part of that pressing toward the mark, which simply means tribulation came, that patient in tribulation. It simply means that tribulation came, that pressure came, and he just stood. But he continued through all of it in prayer. And that's a big key to pressing toward the mark. It's all going to come. All that stuff that Bob read about in Romans 8, we've been hearing about all week, that's all going to come. It's all a part of this life. But we continue instant in prayer. We continue praying. We continue rejoicing in the hope of Christ's return. This man, Paul, who went through all this, said, I pray in tongues more than you all. We've got perfect prayer. to continue to press toward the mark that will help us. It's something we can do that's absolutely perfect. Philippians chapter 3. And in verse 4. You know, Paul had made his mark in life. He was up there. He was at the top level of what was happening at that time. In Philippians 3 and verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereever he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count at loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and he did endure a loss. And do count them but dung, and we know what that means, you know, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Well, I can guarantee you one thing. Jerry and I knew him a little better that day. That I may know him. That's what he wants. He wants you to get it. He wants you to know him. And that's really what it's about. That's that coming home that Bob was talking about. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. There's that following that we heard about again. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Take a deep breath, brothers. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. And what a beautiful reaching forth Paul did in his life, despite all the persecution, tribulation that came his way. All the recognition according to the flesh. It didn't mean anything to him. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Since knowledge-wise, Paul could have been elected by all the unbelievers, put right at the top. He could have been right at the top, run the whole Sanhedrin if he wanted to, because he had all those qualifications. Yet he counted it all but dung to get Christ. And we're born again of God's Spirit. We're guaranteed we're winners, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ in us. To know him, that knowing is not a head trip, but to experience that it is God who is your sufficiency when it looks like you have no sufficiency. To know that it is God who protects you when it looks like you have no protection. To know that it is God who keeps you. And it is God who guides you, and it's he that keeps you walking with all the greatness that you desire to walk with. I can guarantee you we walked that day with a little bit of a, you know, a little giddy up in our step. Like Dr. Earl was sharing about that guy that came out of the corner saloon, you know, looking at a guy in town tonight. Well, we have that. You know, that's part of what God wants us to experience in this life, because he knows it's a rough road here. But it's good to be on the glory road, and that's where we are. That I may know him. In verse 11, that word attain is arrive, that I might arrive unto the out arising from among the dead. Apprehend in verse 12. which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And this is a really cool word. This word apprehend is katalambano. And it means to lay hold of so as to make one's own, to take unto oneself. It's your hope. Lay hold on it. Lay hold on what God has set before you. It's your hope. Take a hold of it. Paul took hold of his hope. He laid hands upon it. He took a hold of it, and he made it his own. And it's my hope that my Lord's coming back for me. Yeah, it's my hope, and I've got a hold on this sucker, and I ain't letting go, you know. He's coming back, and I get to be a part of that. And part of that laying hold upon that hope, forgetting those 5 times that he was whipped, forgetting those 3 times that he was stoned, you know, forgetting those things and pressing toward the mark for the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. He wasn't looking to make his mark in this world. He was looking to press toward the mark of the return of Christ. This is the hope of a man who is walking day by day and pressing toward the mark, forgetting the past. He's moving on because he sees a prize out there. Prizes for everybody. He sees a prize out there. What do you see as you're pressing? It's your upward calling. It's your prize, and this life is your race. And nobody can run your race for you but you. But it is your race. It's your hope. And it is set before you. Salvation is by grace, but once you're in the family, in the household, and you walk faithfully, there's a reward, there's a prize to the winner. And that is all involved in the hope, among many, many other things, as Bob was sharing tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4. There's so many things about the hope, you can't cover all that. I was in meltdown after that. Just the things that, you know, God's a dreamer. He's got plans. He's got a future for us that's absolutely incredible. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Right at the close of his earthly walk, he said, "The time of my departure is at hand." God showed it to him because of the believing that he had in his life. That was the believing that he had in his life that was going on, and that is why God showed it to him. In verse 7, "I have fought a good contest," is what the text reads. He ran a terrific race. What a comfort that must have been to hear that, you know, that that was God's recognition of his life. "The time of your departure is done, bud. But you've run a great race. You've run a terrific race. I finished my course. I have kept my believing." The word "thee" is the word "my" in the Aramaic. I kept my believing. I have kept my believing. All the way through, he kept the believing because he saw the hope, the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So pretty cool that God showed him that. I mean, really amazing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." I want to share a section from the book Dr. Orr wrote, Are the Dead Alive Now? "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and this judgment seat is the Bema. It's the place from which prizes and rewards are given for the faithfulness of our stewardship for him. Every born-again believer, if he will walk according to the word of God, moving on and being called upward and having that hope and really walk in it, you're going to have 5 crowns. And I'm going to mention these 5 crowns. I'm not going to reference them. As Nick said earlier today, you can put the work in yourself. But they're in the Bible, okay? And the first one is the crown of life. And it's for those who have rightly divided God's word to stand approved before him. There is the crown of rejoicing. And this crown is for those who win others to the Lord Jesus Christ after they have rightly divided God's word. This is all mentioned in God's word. I'm not really making any of this up. This is God's word, okay? There's the crown incorruptible for those who exercise self-control in all discipline training. There is the crown of glory, and that is for those leaders in the body of Christ who are examples to the believers. And the final crown that God wants us to know about that's given to us in the day, and that day is called the crown of righteousness, and it's for those who love Christ appearing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, a fantastic verse. If you turn there, 2 Corinthians 4, 17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." This weight is a stepping, like a walk, okay? Our footsteps, and these are my notes I wrote, our footsteps here upon this earth are temporal. My footsteps, should the Lord tarry upon this earth, will be temporal. But what I do for God and for his word in my lifetime will be heard throughout all eternity from God. It'll be a walk that I'll get to enjoy throughout all eternity with my Heavenly Father, face to face. None of this stuff, like Bob was talking about, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, we'll know the great realities of these truths. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." And I don't know if you guys remember in the manifestations tonight, just to shake it up here a little bit, God said he was a living God. Do you guys remember that? Yeah. We don't get a living hope unless we got a living God, okay? So we have a living hope because we have a living God. And he tells us here, it's a living hope, lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What aisle that will be, I do not know. Oh, this brings something to mind, and I'm glad I thought about this. I saw something on TV the other night, and it was a bit sad for me, but in one way it was made me think about the hope. They had this week in New Jersey, they had put together what was called a mission of honor. And this mission of honor was to go and collect the ashes of all the soldiers who were sitting on a shelf. They had died. They had served our country. They had died, and they were on a shelf. And they were just sitting there for year after year after year, and nobody claimed them for like 40 years. And finally, somebody put together what they called a mission of honor. And that was, they took them off the shelf and they recognize their life. And I thought, boy, our lives are not that. You know, we're not going to be sitting on a shelf or being forgotten about. God never forgets about his people. And you want to talk about a mission of honor. All that stuff that Bob was reading about, you know, the dishonor of what we have maybe in this life and in our bodies, that mission of honor of Christ's return. He's gathering us up. And it's not going to be in a tin can or anywhere else. It's going to be what God has invested in each of our lives. We're born again of his spirit. He's got our back. Verse 4, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your believing be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor. There's that honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. God in his mercy and grace has made available for every born believer rewards and crowns. Paul knew that, not just knew it because it's written, but he knew it because God told him. God revealed it to him. And that's what kept him moving toward, pressing toward the mark through all the crap of his lifetime. And that is what keeps us moving through it all. I want to close in 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 58. This is a verse that has carried me through many, many times in my life. When things didn't go right or things weren't working the way that I would hope that they would work, this is the verse that came to my rescue many, many times. First Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, Diane, therefore, Joe, therefore, Lisi, therefore, Vicky, therefore, Debbie, therefore, Chris, therefore, Karen, therefore, Diane, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is our time in history for us to lay hold on the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, to lay hold upon your hope individually and upon my hope individually, and then together as a body of Christ, lay hold upon that hope. Allow God to set the vision for your life, that we are not just mere men and women of the earth, but we are sons of Almighty God, and we are pressing toward the mark. And the clock of all eternity is set by the hand of God, and when that hour is right, Christ is coming back. And that is all part of the Father's great love story. What a place we hold in God's heart. What a place we hold in his plans, and what a place we hold in his eternity. So I'd like for Jimmy to come up, if you would, Jimmy, and my Jimmy.
Me and my Father will walk hand in hand. He guides me right in the this troubled land, and I know that he loves me, tells me so. He lifts my heart when I'm feeling low, and he shows me forever how it's gonna be. Him and my brothers through all eternity. So why keep this hope before my face, waiting for the day when we're out of this place, this place. And I know he's coming back for me, so I speak the word so that others, they may see how he was raised, so that we could be free and live with him through all eternity. Sometimes life can get heavy, man. It's hard to get by. Nothing seems right, and you ask yourself why. Well, get your mind on God's word, his love and his grace. Looking to the day when we see our Savior's face, face to face. And I know he's coming back for me, so I speak the word so that others, they may see how he was raised, so that we could be free and live with him through all eternity. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, shall be changed. And I know he's coming back for me, so I speak the word so that others, they may see how he was raised, so that we could be free and live with him through all eternity.
That's it. Press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's all yours and mine. So thank you for the privilege of being up here tonight and sharing on this most remarkable day.
Thank you.